Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 142 tonight is where we will begin. And we'll be there in a few moments. Psalm 142. Of course, we are now at about the halfway point of our missions month here in this April. And I trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart regarding missions and missionaries and maybe rekindled a love for missions and for missionaries. And at the beginning of the month, as we began the month, we're in the book of Acts, and we said that if you take the New Testament, you really find that the New Testament is a missionary testament, that it's a missionary book. Yet, you can go throughout the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and you can find a central theme, you can find the central thread dealing with missions. I mean, you go all the way back to the Genesis account, and when Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, we had the very first promise that God would send a Savior to redeem all of mankind right there in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. And so the salvation of mankind has always been on the heart and the mind of God. We know the Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, God always had a plan to be able to seek and to save that which was lost. And, you know, when we talk about missions, the interesting thing about it is that some churches and some church members, as we think about missions, they, and you might get the mindset and the idea and say, well, you know, we're such a, you know, small group in such a large world. I mean, what can a small group such as us, what could we do in such a small world that could even begin to even remotely make a difference? And, you know, I'd remind us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, he started out with 12, and they turned the world upside down for Christ. They turned the world upside down for Jesus. Some might look at the Great Commission to evangelize the world as a hopeless task because, again, the world is so large and there's but so few of us. How could we possibly evangelize the entire world? But you have to remember tonight, God only asks us to do as much as we can do to evangelize the world. He just asks us to do our part. And, you know, tonight we should not look at the Great Commission to evangelize the world as hopeless and as a hopeless task, but we should look at that as a opportunity. We should look at it as a great privilege that you and I, we get to go out of these walls and we get to share with a lost and dying world, those who they have no concept of God, they have no concept of Christ, and we get to share with them not only that Christ can save them, Christ can take them to heaven, Christ can save their soul, Christ can change their life, but we get to share with them what Christ has done for us and how Christ has saved us and how Christ has changed our life and how he's taking us to heaven and how where we would be had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to do just that. And, you know, tonight as we look upon a needy and a broken and a hopeless world, and that, you know, by the way, that's what our world is tonight. It's needy, it's broken, it's hopeless. Our goal should not be necessarily to erect some type of massive memorial, but to mass a movement to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. And here in the book of Psalms tonight, we find four things, if we really take them to heart as God's people, then it will cause us to mount that movement. It will cause us to mass that movement to get the gospel out to a lost and a dying world. The very first thing I want us to see tonight here in the book of Psalms is the cry. I want us to see the cry. You're there in Psalm 142, and we see that the lost world is crying out for help. There is a world out there. They are lost. They are needy. They are broken. They're hopeless. They're lost and undone. They're without Christ. They're headed for hell. And whether they know it or not, they're crying out for a Savior. Psalm 142, notice there, verse number 1, the Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the day wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. And here's the key verse, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And here's the key phrase of this verse, verse number 4. No man cared for my soul. We live in a day and age where we have a world that has that same cry. They are out there and they are of the belief, they are of the mindset. And by the way, it's a mindset given to them by Satan that says, you know what, no one cares for me. No one cares for my soul. And that phrase is just a lie straight from hell, straight from the devil, because there are those that care for their souls. There are those. There's a God in heaven that cares for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we live in a world today, they're crying out for help. They're crying out for somebody to help them. And again, whether they know or not, they're crying out because every one of us and every person in this world, before coming to Christ, they all have that little emptiness in their soul, that little emptiness in their heart, that little emptiness in their life. And they're trying to fill it with anything they can think of to fill it. There are people tonight, I guarantee you, right down there on Lehigh Avenue, I think it's still open, but there's the Lehigh Tavern. I guarantee you tonight, there are people in that bar tonight that are there, that they are just drowning their sorrows away in alcohol, and they are looking for something to care for them, and they're finding it in a bottle. They're finding it in alcohol. You go on the internet sometime, you look up there in Philadelphia, the neighborhood of Kensington, and you will see just the streets of Kensington littered with people who are using drugs and shooting up right there in public, and they look like the walking dead. They look like zombies, and they're trying to fill something in their life with narcotics and with drugs, and they're just trying to fill that void and fill what is missing. There are people tonight that they're trying to fill it with their careers or with social activities or whatever the case may be. You fill in the blank tonight, but they're trying to fill that missing part. And folks, the only thing that can fill that missing part in somebody's soul, the only thing that can fill that missing part in somebody's life is not an alcoholic bottle, is not drugs, is not working yourself to death, is not social activity. The only thing that can fill that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that can fill that is God. The only thing that can fill that is the Lord. And they are crying out for help. Many tonight, they're looking for help. Like Nicodemus, go over if you would. Keep your finger in Psalms. Go to John chapter 3 tonight. Gospel of John chapter 3, perhaps the most well-known portion of Scripture in all of the Bible. John chapter 3. And verse number 1. John chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many are looking for help, like Nicodemus here in chapter 3. Many are crying today like the psalmist there in Psalm 142. No man cares about me. No man cares for my soul. As Christians tonight, we should care. As Christians tonight, we should carry the message to them that not only do we care, not only is there a church that cares, not only is there a people that care, but we should carry the message to them tonight that there's a Savior that cares, that there's a Jesus that cares, that there's a God in heaven that cares for their souls. The lost world is crying out for help, but then we see the cry from the unsaved is a desperate cry. The cry from the unsaved is a desperate cry. Look, if you would, Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9 tonight. Psalm chapter 9. And notice there, if you would, verses 15 through 17. Psalm chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There's a cry tonight that is a desperate cry. And although many times it is silent to our physical ears, we must realize that it is just that. That is a desperate cry that they will be sunk down. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. All the nations that forget God. Look, if you would, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Beginning there at verse number 3. Psalm 116, beginning at verse 3, the Bible says, The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Folks tonight, if these folks would just realize, if they turn from their sin, and they turn to Christ, and they turn to God, they would be delivered. They would find deliverance. What we see tonight, that there is a cry in our world today of help and desperation. But then secondly tonight, we see the command. We see the command. And our command tonight is very simple. It's to preach the gospel to every creature. It's to preach the gospel to every creature. Look, if you would, Psalm 96. Psalm 96, and we see this involves declaring the glory of God to a lost world. That's what we have to do in our witness. We have to declare God's glory to this lost and dying world. Psalm 96, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His heathen." Or declare His glory, excuse me, among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We need tonight to declare the glory of God to a lost and dying world. To all people, every creature needs to know about the Lord tonight. Our command is to preach Jesus to the unsaved world. Look, if you will, Galatians chapter 1, New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and notice there, if you would, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace." Why? Verse 16, "to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." We have a purpose tonight, and that's to preach Christ to a lost and dying world. I look, if you will, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, a couple books over from Galatians. Colossians chapter 1, and notice there, verse 24 down through the end of the chapter. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 24, down through verse 29. The Bible says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." I like that phrase in verse number 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Tonight, if you have Christ in you, you have hope. If you have Christ living in you, not only do you have hope, but you now have hope to offer to a lost and dying world. You now have hope to offer to your unsaved friends. You now have hope to offer to your unsaved family because of Christ living in you. But we see tonight we have a command. A command to preach the gospel. But then thirdly tonight we see we also have the commission. We have the commission, and that commission is to make the gospel known among the people. I look, if you would, Psalm 105. Psalm 105 tonight. Psalm 105, and we'll look there, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. We need to make the gospel known among the people. And our commission is to first go and make the works of the Lord known around the world. We serve a marvelous God. Why wouldn't we want to let the world know of how great our God is tonight? The question is, who will go for the Lord? Who will go for the Lord? Look, if you would, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and we'll look there at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." You know, today the Lord's still looking for some folks. He's still asking the same question. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Will you answer the call? Will you say to the Lord, "Here am I, send me"? Now listen, I understand not all of us can go to the mission field, but we can all be a witness for Christ right where we are. We can all be a witness for God right where we are. Verse number 9, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long?" Okay, now we want to know, okay, Lord, well, how long should I go? How long do you want me to witness? And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." In other words, we need to be working till Jesus comes. We need to be witnessing till Jesus comes. Who will go for the Lord tonight? And so we see the cry, we see the command, we see the commission. And then fourthly and finally tonight, we see the compassion. We see the compassion. You know, when we go and we witness to somebody, we need to do so with compassion. Look, if you would, Psalm 126. Psalm 126 tonight. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them." You know, there are going to be some in this world, they need a little bit of compassion. They need a little bit of patience. They need a little bit of love. And our job is to bring them in. And listen, the Bible says, "They that sow in tears." Listen, cry over them if you must, but bring them in. Bring them in so that they know and can be saved and know Christ as their Savior. And do so with a little bit of compassion. Because it's compassion tonight that makes the difference. Look, if you would, Jude. Right before the book of Revelation, Jude. One little chapter. If you flip too much, you'll miss it. The little lone chapter of the book of Jude. And notice there verses 20 through 22. The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And here it is, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Folks, tonight, there are some people in our world, if we're ever going to make a difference, we just need to be a little bit gentle with them. We need to be patient with them. We need to have compassion on them. To this day, I remember there were times that, growing up, coming in the church on the bus, every so often on a Sunday after church, pastor would take people home, and he'd take one of us kids to go and be his helpers, to take the, we had a stool in the van because the church van was a little bit high, and we were, for lack of a better term, we were picking up old people, okay? And old people might have a hard time making that big step down. So we'd have a stool where they could climb in, climb down, and he'd take one of us kids to go and help with that. And then afterwards, he'd take us to either McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, and just, spend time with us. And we'd do that. But what was he doing? He was just having some compassion. He was just taking time. And, that's what we need to do. Some people, now notice there, you're in Jude. Notice verse 23. The Bible says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Now listen, there are going to be some people that you can be as compassionate as you want. You can be as kind as you want. You can be as, nice as you want. They're not going to respond to that. Some people, you're going to need to preach hellfire and brimstone in order to wake them up. And you're going to need to show them their destiny without Christ. We realize that. But, most people, they just need a little compassion, need a little love, need a little patience. And just to know that somebody cares for them. It's compassion tonight that makes the difference. And we must realize the shortness of time. We must realize the shortness of time. Look, if you would, final portion of Scripture, Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, verses 9 through 12. Psalm chapter 90, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Folks, tonight our days are short. We don't have too much longer until Jesus comes again. And our days tonight are numbered, and because they're numbered, we ought to hear the cry of the lost. We ought to hear the commands of the Lord. We ought to fulfill the great commission given to us by our Lord and our Savior. And we ought to have compassion on a lost world. Because there's a day coming, and there's a day coming soon, when Jesus is going to come through the clouds, and he's going to take us home to heaven. All tears will be done away with. All heartaches and sorrows will be done away with. These old bodies will be passed away. We'll have new bodies, new minds. But who are we taking with us in the meantime? Our days are short. The Bible tells us, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming soon. We have a little bit of a window. Let's be conscious this week, this month, this year, soul conscious. Listen, if all you can do, and listen, I realize not everybody is comfortable going up and knocking on a door. Not everybody is comfortable going up to a complete stranger and starting a conversation about the Lord and about God and about the things of God. But you know, you can take a gospel track. You go out to a restaurant, you know, when you leave your tip, leave a gospel track. You go out to Walmart, you give your cashier a gospel track. You go to the Walmart pickup. They bring your items to the car before they leave. You give them a gospel track. You go out to a fast food place, leave a gospel track on the table, leave a gospel track on the trays, or find ways to leave gospel, because we never know what's gonna or who's gonna be affected by that gospel track. Who's gonna pick it up, read it? Maybe they get saved. Maybe they show up and come to church. We don't know. But let's seek to be soul conscious this week, because time is short. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.